Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, today's, we're doing some work today here. So get your pens and pencils out, or pencils, or whatever you use. I'm using my phone. People might use their tablets, desktops, or whatever. But we're going to do a little arithmetic today. Particularly in preparation for February the 3rd with Reba's event up in Chicago. Now, so today's podcast is titled 6- and 7-figure day. Business model. Now I'll repeat that again. What we'll be working on today are 6- and 7-figure day business models. In other words, we're going to have a business model. We're going to work out a business model to earn $100,000 in a day, and another business model, or take that same business model where we can scale it from $100,000 in a day to 7 figures or $1 million in one day. All right. So I'm going to play two audios that I've played on here several times before because they have workable projects, and that we basically – well, we'll take it one step at a time. Okay, so here we go with Solar Cabin. When you listen to it this time, take notes, particularly when he names figures. Now, let me give you a head start on that. You want to put down a figure for land. All right, a figure for land, although we put a figure for land, because we'll need a budget for that or a model for that. Then put out a figure for building, what it costs to actually build the housing structure. And those are the two main functions. I mean, two we need. And then we'll from that point we'll go into, right, how do we take, if it costs so much money to build it, how many do we need to build, and what price do we need to sell to get 6 figures in one day? In one day. Or 7 figures in one day. All right. So here we go with Solar Cabin.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, so we're going to have three models here, three business models. Two are named in this one. We're going to build a house for $2,000. That's the budget on one. That's without solar. Then the budget to build it with solar, which is for the electricity to electrify the house, the power of the house, at least partially power of the house, will be $5,000. So we got a $5,000 budget house. We got a $2,000 house. Now, we did say in order, let's say, to have a six-figure day, let's just 100,000 divided by 2,000, we would need to build 50 of those, and sell them in a day, 20 houses in a day after we build them, to have a six-figure day. Now, if we were doing a seven-figure day based on $2,000, we would need to do 500 of them. However, if we do, hold it, we're going a seven-figure day divided by 5,000, we would need to build 200 and sell 200. All right, so the $5,000 business model, the $2,000 business model, and then the... Let me find my way back to the studio, all right? Now we're going to another business model. This is the third one. I got to wait for my board to pre-populate. And I've played this audio on here before. Oh, man, okay, wait a minute. Okay, let me see, 11... Okay, wait a minute. All right. I'm just waiting for my board to repopulate. Okay, here we go. Here's the third business model that we'll be doing. And like we got a $5,000 budget, a $2,000. Oh, man, what happened? Okay. Let me see if I can get it right this time. Give me a moment. and let's see if I can try it one more time. Well, let me try it another way. Okay. That's not going to work that way. The third business model, wait a minute, let me... Okay, I think... Okay, here we go. Here's the third business model. Take notes.
Well, you've heard the phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Well, Steve Shives knows it's true. He's made a fortune thanks to some old scrap parts from a beat-up bus, and it all became a million. Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home,
and she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account, and he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Huguet. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the Tiny Home Nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing. If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
All right, that's our third business model. She did hers for $800. I'm going to up our budget to $1,000. So we got one business model where we'll build something at $1,000. All right. Another business model where we'll build at $2,000. That's the budget. And the third business model will be on the upper end, $5,000. So those are the three plateaus that we have to work in. Now, before, some people might be saying, well, that's awfully low. Well, if you go on YouTube and put in any one of those figures, you know, several videos will pop up for under $1,000, under $500, $2,000, several videos. They're there. And they're being uploaded by other people around the globe, if not every day, definitely every week. So those are our three business models, because once we have those three basic cookie cutters, then essentially all you need to do is it's arithmetic. All right, how many do you need? If you want to, like, say you take Lauren Nelson and she built one for she renovated her, she didn't build it from scratch, but let's say it was $800, so let's say she tacked on, turned around and sold it for $1,000 profit. Okay. So in order to reach six figures in a day, all right, so six figures bare minimum is $100,000. So $100,000 divided by $1,000 profit, so you'd have to sell 100 of those in a day. All right. Now, more than likely, you would have to organize a team, but it could be a team of 10 people. Just like if you're going to do a basketball game full court, I mean, each team has five players on the team, a regular pickup game, five people on the team. So now this is something that, you know, when we'll reach this goal, I don't know, but the whole goal is to reach this before or by December the 24th of this year, which will be year 10 for us on It's My House. So the $1,000 house, that's the budget to build. The $2,000 house or dwelling, you could call it whatever you want. Call it a cabin, she shed, shed, relax shack, call it what you want, but $1,000 budget, $2,000 budget, and $5,000 budget. All right. And they can be built just like with the Lamar video, where, you know, they can be, that people can add on to it. All right. Now, before I go to the phone lines here, just a reminder, and this is out of a book. I saw a guy, I'm going to see if I can get him on the show, the guy's name, the guy who wrote the book, his name is David Cook. And basically he teaches people how to, well, he wrote a book giving people instructions on how to build your own house. So, and I've said this on here before, but out of his book he says, during the first 200 years of this country's history, and he's talking about the United States, there was little need for institutional home loans. Not only that, there weren't any places for institutional home loans, let alone any government programs. Settlers built their homes by themselves or with the help of their communities. All right, most of them had small holdings or farms, which passed down from generation to generation. And he also goes on to say, the best way to build your own house is to pay as you go. Now, that's what they do in Jamaica. A lot of Jamaicans, how they build their homes, not all of them, but many of them, culturally speaking, they build as they go. You know, all right, the budget, there's enough for the foundation. All right, I got to work a little bit more to, you know, for the walls and the floors and the roof and all that. But they, a lot in their culture in Jamaica and other parts of the world, people pay as they don't go to a bank. They don't go to the government or nothing like that. All right, the more work you do without borrowing money, particularly from an institutional lender, the more your house will pay you back in equity and or cash flow, particularly if you decide to rent it out. All right. With that said, the $100 day, you're going to have, the six-figure day, you're going to have the team. But you know what? Don't worry about that part. The first team we need to organize is, and don't have to worry about land. Find a location where you can, somebody will let you build for free, which, you know, somebody's backyard. It might be a church's parking lot. You should be able to find some place where you should be able to build for free. If not, you can't find anything for free, find some place that will let you lease something for a day or two so you can build it, and then, you know, if you have to move it, you can disassemble it and move it to another location. But you should be able to find a place for free. Some of you might already have land, okay, which, you know, if you do, then that's covered. You got a backyard already, that's covered. All right, so, all right, $1,000 budget. Now, it can be built for less than that. But three business models, one for $1,000 budget. No more, you can't spend any more. I mean, we're talking about nails, screws, whatever, and labor. $1,000 budget, which means you're going to have some social capital. And social capital is for family, friends, and that type of thing, volunteers. The $2,000 budget house and the $5,000 budget. Now, I played those two videos. Y'all done heard them on here a gazillion times. Because if they can do it, now, Lauren Nelson is 12 years old now. She was 11 years old. Actually, she was 10 years old when she found that camper. But if she can do it, and I don't know how Lamar is. Lamar might be in his 40s or 50s. But all right, you got a big age gap there. So if they can do it, and they're on YouTube with hundreds of other people, then whoever you are, you can do it. So those are three budgets. Those are our three business plans. And like I said, you take any one of those and you can scale up to a six-figure day or a seven-figure day. But you just repeat the process. The getting rid of them once they're built is the easy part. That's the easy part. Okay, let's see. So now what we do now is, I guess people need to organize a team wherever they are. Well, I got to find a room again, a studio again, and go from there. And by the way, this is running under the definition of commodity money. Commodity, what you're doing is you're building a commodity. All right, so, okay, let's go to the phone lines here. 262, your mic is open.
Yes, Grand Rising. So I'm taking
Grand
notes
Rising.
And I'm seeing. Yeah, thank you. So I'm looking at the budget. So we had done a budget for about $500. So that's what I have. CJ should be listening on. He said he was just up getting ready, but he said he would be listening in while he was getting ready. So, yeah, these budget models, so that's our cost to build them for the public?
No, that'll be our cost.
Okay.
All right. That'll be our cost now. Matter of fact, and people can follow me on YouTube for this. I'm on YouTube right now, and I'm plugging in $1,000. Oh, that's it, too. All right. Okay, $1,000 tiny house. Let's see now, wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. All right, $1,000. Tiny house, okay. All right, so if you go to YouTube and type in $1,000 tiny house, okay, here are the videos that come back on my news feed. Tiny house for only $1,000. $1,000 backyard tiny house by Relax Shack. And he's got a whole book on this. And I've gone to two of his retreats. up in Vermont. Here's another video, Happen Films. This couple built a tiny house for only $400. All right, here's another guy. He built a tiny house for under $8,000. All right, here's another video by Dangy Brothers. They got over 5 million views. $100 versus $2,000 tiny house budget challenge. Now, here's a youngster. I spent under $1,000 for building my own tiny house. This guy's like 13 years old at the time. Luke Thiel. T-H-I-L-L, Luke's first name. All right, living, let's see, that we're not going to get into pods today. Let's see. Elon Musk with a Tesla house that goes anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. Let's see. Here's another video by Modern Self-Reliance, building $1,000 micro-class house, 90 square feet. There's a $34 tiny house. So there's a bunch of ideas on YouTube. You know, for different prices. Okay. Here's another video, 13-year-old. Built a tiny house for only $1,500. And like, see, I mean, it's never ending. So, okay, you know, wait a minute. Let me see. Anyway, so, Reba, your thoughts so far.
Well, I like the fact that you offered several budgets, and one, you could, you know, build the unit, you and yourself, together at any rates. The other is the options. So you have 2,000, 5,000, and another 2,000, correct? What you had offered.
Yeah, I figure $1,000 budget, $1,000 budget, like I said, with the solar cabin thing, I said with the audio I played with that, you got really two budgets within one. He built the cabin for $2,000. Okay. And it's split level. He's got an upstairs and he's got a downstairs. All right. And for an additional $3,000 at the time, he put in, you know, a solar system in there to generate electricity. So his cabin was fully functional. So if you wanted to make coffee, he had 12-volt systems and all that. So, you know, so the same building, but, you know, oh, wait a minute. You know what? Wait a minute. We got to take a break.
It was almost 2 years ago that I started work on a small log cabin in the northern Canadian bush. And it has been exactly a year since I closed the cabin door for the last time and moved away.
It's pretty well known that the cost to buy a house in a lot of major cities is insanely high. It's led to a lack of affordable housing for both renters and buyers. In LA, there's simply no...
Okay. Yeah, somebody had a domestic argument. Anyway. All right. So we're back. So, you got three budgets. And we're looking at this because yesterday I went over the three types of money. Okay. which you can fact check me on, the fundamental types of money. Okay, because people need to get a broader definition or a realistic definition of what money is. Okay. The three types of money. Money, okay, let's say places like Germany or France, you know, the national currency, because there's a European Union now, the official currency of the European Union, which is the EU, is the euro, or the euro, depends on how you pronounce it, E-U-R-O, euro, okay? You go to England has its own currency in the United Kingdom. It's the British pound. You go to Mexico, they had the Mexican peso. So all those are different forms of fiat currency, okay? Now, in China, it's the RMB, and what they call it, Japan, is the yen. Russia, it's the ruble, okay? Now, a second type of money is representative money. That would be like, it's an IOU, a glorified IOU, like a United States savings bond, or a T-bill, treasury, you know, notes and all that. Those, that's representative money. And then there's commodity money. Okay, the clothes on your back, the food on the table, trinkets that you might have, cups, tables, saucers, trays, beds. These are all different commodities, and they represent money. If you go into a convenience store, like say you go into a 7-Eleven or something like that, everything you see in there are commodities, the cereal boxes, whatever you might buy, the coffee, whatever you buy. So, and typically, you know, you walk into that commodity store, which is called a convenience store, you know, they're trading, now you're exchanging your fiat currency for the specific commodity that you want. So what we're doing, okay, because you can build one of these little tiny houses, which is commodity money, and you don't have to exchange it for fiat currency. You can exchange it for whatever you might need. You know, there's a very good book and video that you might want to check out called One Red Paperclip, where this guy started out with one red paperclip, and he traded it all the way up to a house. Check it out. You need that kind of mindset here. So our commodity is, in this case, these three business models, the $1,000 house, the $2,000 house, and the $5,000 house. Now, those are our budgets, because we might build for those within those three budgets, but we're going to sell it for more. You know, let's say you build something for $5,000, but you sell it for $10,000. And a $10,000 house, there are people out here, that's their budget. They've got $10,000, and that's it. They don't want to borrow any money. That's why the tiny house movement has been going strong for over a decade now, because people do not, particularly Americans, they don't want to get into a 30-year mortgage. They don't want to get into that. All right, so let's see. Going back to Reba real quick. So, all right, now, Reba, where are you at? You know, you got a project. You got a due date of next month, the 3rd of February. So we all Everything starts with one. So what's the budget? What's the budget for your first house?
Well, I do see the analogy of the if we have the teams of five, teams of two. Did you say team of six? I have two different conversations that we had, but the budget of $1,000 using the pallets, because then we would have, you know, the $500 for the pallets. And the other $500 to pay the youth.
We got to figure out another thing too. All right, you got the building materials. The building materials. All you need to include. How much money you gonna need for screws? I mean, how you gonna fasten the building together? So you're gonna need. Are you going to need screws? If so, screws. What type of screws will you need? How many will you need? How much is that going to cost? Will you need nails? If so, how many nails? How much do the nails cost? Will it be insulated? All those things need to be. You know, the first thing you need to do is get a plan.
Well, we have a building plan.
Okay.
No, we have a carpenter who's working with us. They're going to donate.
Is your carpenter working with a set of plans?
The plans are.
Because the plans
$500.
Pardon me? If you get a set of plans, start off with a set of plans, okay? Because the plans, the building plans will tell you exactly what you need. It'll tell you specifically what materials you need, what the dimensions are, how many are you going to use screws, are you going to use nails, are you going to use a combination of the two, you know, what kind of tools you need. The plans, you know, will tell you. It's the roadmap on what you need and what you need to do to construct the building.
Yes.
That's the first thing you need are the plans.
Yes, we have
Do you have the plans already?
Yes. The idea is to have the young people to, because I'm going, at this point, I'm going to need to get a truck or use their dad's. Well, actually, we can use their dad's. He has a hitch on his van. It's a luxury van, but we're just putting a hitch on it. So that's how we're going to collect the pallets. So the carpenter who's working with us, he's going to donate the additional materials. I also have a fiscal agent, which is Mach 1. They're automotive mechanic training program, auto repair training program. And along with that, they're also going to introduce, and they'll be at the event they've sponsored. So they have given 50% of what they're going to donate, but they're also going to meet with me this week. I'm meeting with one of the members, one of the instructors this evening at the Grand Ballroom. Yeah, we're going to that's Latina Moore calling me on the line. Sorry about the beeping. I'm going to text her real quick. So let me put you on speaker. Okay, so this is the deal. I was putting you on speaker so I let you know what we're going to do. They're going to donate the other materials. It's up to, and this is holding the young people accountable. So I have the 5 to 10 young men. The 5 are just my core. So that's CJ, Vail, J-Mo. His name is Jono. J-Mo is the new father. So he's number 6, but he's 25 years old. Jono and Gucci is his nickname. So Terrell is a father as well. So they are actually going to be prioritized. The others can still make money. Like I actually have a marketing campaign for not only my Spanish, but there's other ways. But I don't want to exclude anybody. We just need the ones to say, hey, you know, they could, let's say, put the pallets on the truck. We just have resources that are coming in. So
the initial core, they've been doing light hauling work with me. The two fathers, that would make it seven. So.
All right, so you got a team of seven, right?
Yeah, there are more, but these are the ones that I'm always in contact with. Now, DeAndre, he rents trucks all the time. So if Dad is busy, you know, because I'm going to be calling DeAndre. Actually, I'm going to text him to get on this call. But DeAndre is he has his own moving service, which he began to hire, like, CJ, you know, my son, and a few others to work with him. CJ brought Vail along, and that was when we went on the job to move Gene Chandler. So Mama Evelyn is listening in. So, yeah, I hadn't had a chance to tell her that we moved a celebrity. Gene Chandler, who wrote the song Duke of Earl. So, nevertheless, you know, these are individuals as well who want to donate. He's a musician as well. So we're going to have, for the fundraiser Friday, February 3rd at the Grand Ballroom, we're going to have some live music. Mama Evelyn is a vocalist as well. So just these individuals that are coming in, they're going to also bring more donors. But the $500 budget, we actually, we're doing a different budget because our goal is to raise $5,000. So we have just about that $500 at this point. So I'm going to get the exact numbers. I can have that for you tomorrow, what we have collected thus far. So, although we have a month,
wait, now,
we
you,
actually...
Are you doing, with your team, are you doing daily, like, Zoom calls on a daily, you know, so far?
No,
so bad, yeah.
We've social media, and then I actually, Clubhouse, it gets pretty busy. You know, we get, you know how we talk, maybe for 2 or 3 hours, it gets pretty in-depth.
These planning calls could be, you know what, no more than an hour, you know, an hour or less,
yeah.
Even keep them within, you know.
Yeah, and you're good.
Or they can even be 15 to 30
timing.
Minutes. Well, in other words, like, for instance, when it comes to building materials that you have, everybody should have a list of what building materials need, you know, you mentioned pallets or screws, nails, you know, do you have the power, what power tools are needed, what hand tools might be needed. So, in other words, all right, today's what, Thursday? So let's say nobody's got nothing today at all, but you announce it on today's call, all right, and then you set dates on today's call, okay. Well, then you go around the room, and then what do we have access to right now? So one person might say, all right, I got a place where we can build. All right, check that off. Another person might have a nail gun or a power screwdriver. It's raining all of a sudden down here. So you go down to see what you have a list of what's needed. And then you see what's available right now. And then the third thing is who can get what and when. And then if so, how much would that cost? So, like, so you try to keep those calls within no more than an hour long. That should be like your – and then each call, I would say those calls should go no longer than 1 hour with your team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so month one is at – yeah, can you hear me, Brother L.A.? I wanted to just give you the idea what month one is going. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so, yeah, they have a 9,000-square-foot building, and actually they are a 501c3 organization. So they we're going to – I'm going to meet with one of the instructors today – to stop by Home Depot because they actually donate materials as well. So we're going to just assess what we need after that trip. We have all of the power tools that are necessary because we have several resources. We have the carpenter. We have one of the automotive instructor. I also have power tools as well. So The screws, Grand Ballroom has some screws that I'm always covered across. So I'm requesting those. But also, like you said, the sizing and so forth. So I actually purchased, when I was working on my dad's building, I actually knew how to look, you know, see the size, like measure and know what types of screws, wood screws, drywall screws and things like that. So that's what the carpenter will be discussing with the team this weekend, because we're going to go shopping. So as far as but the wood pallets, I am going to connect with DeAndre, because he does moving jobs all along. Brother Mark, what's Brother Mark's last name? Brother Mark, he actually has he had a resale shop. He had a furniture resale shop, really, really nice furniture. So we just moved. I think the family was Indian. They're a big, beautiful house. They moved like a chest drawer down from the son was moving down to the first floor. So Brother Mark actually helped DeAndre to get started with his moving service, because DeAndre used to work with him. Yeah, so that's what how we're, like, moving, paying it forward, you know, creating entrepreneurs and tradesmen as well. CJ and Bill actually have carpentry and cement masonry skills. So we did clarify with CJ when he asked the question. He was asking Chris how sturdy the structure would be. With his aluminum or steel units.
Okay, let's bring him in now, because that will be a, let's see, we got one, two, the fourth
business
model.
That's
going to
be, we're going to work with that next year, yeah. We're going to do that, work within our budget this year. And, yeah, it was pretty affordable.
We got to see how much of the, that could be a fourth business model that can be included this year. But
yeah,
we gotta
I think
see how, you know.
Like, yeah, maybe in the summer. Yeah.
Well anyway, Chris, calling
Chris
you
on the line?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Good morning.
Hi,
right,
Chris.
Now, Chris, let's say, Chris, let's see it. Give us the figures for, let's see, because we're dealing with a steel. We're dealing with metal when it comes to Chris. What Chris can pump out, from what I can ascertain, is something that will probably be easier to put together. Because I'm thinking about like an erector set, and it's metal.
Yeah, that's clear. Yeah.
So,
and he
right
said
now,
that his
right now, I've been in one of these tiny houses that was like 126 square feet. So Chris, what something that's like I don't know, 150, 180 square feet. What are we talking about when it comes to frame cost?
The frame cost.
He gave us 150, right?
Now $150 is what it would be if everybody was being paid and it was being built.
Okay.
It costs $20 a square foot for this frame. If,
okay.
So you take the 160, 180, 120, whatever the number, 300, 400, and you times that by $20 a square foot. And
okay.
That will give you the framework. Now you have to put siding
on it.
That's
$2,400. Okay. All right.
Then now siding for a 10-foot by 10-foot square of siding, you're looking to cost you $200, maybe a little more, for the material per 10-foot
right.
by 10-foot area. So 100 square feet costs you $200.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where you look at, you know, how big is your wall? Does one square, usually about a square does a wall when you get a square room that's, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot or so. So you have a square, 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 and then you'll have a little leftover. But people make mistakes, so maybe you might have a piece
right.
that you can help yourself.
Right.
You always want to put a margin in there for error.
Right. You're right about that.
Always add 10% to anything that you're gonna do. If you're gonna order studs, add 10% more. So if you need 10, bring one more. Just because it's better to have it on site than to go get it.
It's better to have than not need it. It's better to have than not need it than need it or not.
Right.
All right. So that falls into the $5,000 budget. Okay. And some people prefer you got to look at the benefits of using metal. Number one, less maintenance. Number two, it's going to last longer.
It can last thousands of years.
Going to require more.
Well, the original vision was to build five, and that $500 budget was for the five with even just general materials, even before we came up with the pallet idea to save money. So that's where the $5,000 initially was for. So I would like to see us use the funds, because we're still raising funds. We're not at our goal just yet of $5,000. However, we can get the pallets this weekend, and we could do the steel structure. It's steel, correct? Not aluminum?
Yes.
Correct? Yeah, that would be amazing to just get that done within the next quarter.
Now, what's
with the same budget?
Is it a heavy type metal or what? I know aluminum's light.
It weighs.
But,
No, it's a heavy gauge steel, but it's not heavy. It weighs half the weight of a 2x4, but it's twice as strong.
Can be heavy.
So it's not heavy.
All right, so it's lighter than, okay.
That's why on the same truck, if you think you put a 2x4, you know, and you stack them up, you know, you see trucks going down the road with loads on them. They can only put so much lumber on there, right, because of the weight and the way it stacks up. Well, this material stacks inside of itself. So for every 2x4 you see on that other truck, you'll see two on this one.
Now, what's the square footage with? Like, I'm thinking about something that you can tell me the square footage. Something that can be put up, a la erector set style, disassemble, which is mean simple, a la erector set style, and then put in the back of a rider truck or a U-Haul truck. I don't want to call, one of these specialty companies.
Right. You're in a matrix for me, brother. I didn't hear any of that.
All right. What's the square footage? Can you hear me now? Oh, man.
Well,
you know what? I'm on 2%. My phone's about to shut off.
Oh, your phone's
Oh, man, wait a minute. All right, you know what? Wait a minute.
I'll talk for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Chris, keep on talking.
Right.
I'll be back.
All right.
I might be back in 10 minutes. Keep on talking.
All right. For an example of what you can put up and what you can take down, I had two kids. They came over, 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they've never built anything. And the 13-year-old was putting out the erector set puzzle. He was putting the pieces where they go. So then all you had to do was pick them up, put them in place, screw them on, and move to the next one. And when he got them all laid out, I was working on the first piece, and he says, "Hey, you don't need to do that. Let me do it." He took the gun from me. So I grabbed my phone, and I started taking pictures of him. And you could see him putting the screw on the gun. You could see him going down. You could see him carrying the truss away. Then you could see the pile of trusses that he built. And that was the thing. they built this in 2.5 hours. And I stood it up. I didn't use them to stand it up. I stood it up. And I had to go and drop it. Now, this thing was 10 foot tall to where the trusses were. Then it was had 6 foot trusses on it. So you could stand up in the attic of it because I had a queen size bedroom in there. And I dropped all the wood off of it, took the door out of it, put it on the ground, took the trusses off, threw them to the ground, stacked them up, and then took them apart, every component, took them right back apart, and stacked all the material up, and then dropped the walls. And I did that by myself in 1 hour and 15 minutes, dropped it. Now, it didn't have the full roof on it, so everything wasn't there. So it would take longer to disassemble one that was complete. But that would give you a for instance or a for example. But it was what those children did. Now, on my Instagram, that's Chris_Hope_Collins on Instagram. Go there. Look at the builds that are going on in there. And those are done by children. No adults built those. I'm not posting anything about the adults right now. Anything that's on there, kids built. But you'll see them in the factory. You'll see them not sweating, stressing. They're just enjoying themselves. But it's playing a song. And it's called This Is How We Do It. And I love it. Because they show up, and through that video, you'll see that they built this. Then they went out on the site and they stood it up and they outbuilt the adults next door. But they built something that's superior to the house next door. If I had a choice and I walked up into the neighborhood and they're saying, all right, this house costs the same amount as that house, which one do you want? I ain't got to choose very hard. I want that one. That one's a tank compared to that one. And, you know, we've only been building with wood for 200 years. I'll give you 10 positive reasons. And then you give me one. So it won't burn. It won't absorb water. Stronger. Termite free. Mold resistant. Seismic. Recyclable. Build it without a dumpster. Build it cheaper than wood. And get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home. Give me one positive reason to build out of wood, and I'll shut up. But I gave you 10 reasons not to. And there's a lot more, because it's what it's going to do, because the ones that are building with wood ain't changing your insides. They're not making you feel good. And that's what this is about. It's an exploration of you. Every person on earth, you are an individual. No one will think for you. No one will make your mind up. We think for ourselves, people. And who you are is who you are. But you don't even know how big of a superstar you are. You don't know what your superpower is if you ain't already found it. But if you have found it, what is it doing? Have you been found by finding it? Are other people being enlightened by what you got? Is there a legacy that you're leaving behind? Or are you just taking what you can while you're here? You know, everybody goes out, and I saw a post the other day, and it really sets to me, and I make a joke out of it because that's what I think. I mean, that's why it was put on there, but it's real. And it said, hefty bag. Been helping baby daddies move since 1976. Why are they moving? A lot of fights, a lot of stress. Most of it on every 30 days you're worried about finding somewhere else to be if they decide they don't want you to be there no more. So what you did find, you wasn't found. And even if you own it, don't pay the taxes. They'll come get you. They'll take it right away from you. That's a fact. So you really don't own it. So that means our children's land wasn't never our children's. It wasn't ours. We didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. It was gone long ago when they came in and they claimed and they took and they killed. Well, it's time for us to prepare. This is a new resolution for this year because there is a solution and you're it. And the beautiful thing is all you got to do is open your eyes, share a message, share your thoughts because they're yours. Just imagine right now, that second, that pause right there, there's 7.8 billion thoughts made. Man, that's more than I could make in my lifetime. And y'all just did it. How many other pauses can happen? But then how many people can get put and go? You know, it's time for us to realize that it ain't no surprise that our children are the solution to every adult's problem. But their biggest problem is getting an opportunity to teach you. Because they have to be enlightened and they have to know that they have something that they can do, regardless of whether you want to get off the couch and do it with them or not. There's a difference. When they come home and they say, hey, you need to get off the couch and come with me and come see what we did today. That's what I want. I want you to do. I want you to get up and come do that. And if you don't get up and do it, you're doing yourself a displeasure. Because that's how your children will have a 6- and 7-figure day, is by enlightening them on how bright they are, how brilliant the future is going to be when we can turn everybody's light on. There won't be a dark spot anywhere because everybody will be ready. Be a difference in your life, even though you're not asking. Because we're only as strong as our weakest link, right? Well, stop looking at the person that's so far down as something that we don't need to deal with. Because if we can get them stronger, it makes us stronger. It builds a community. It shows you care. You know, we're the human race. And your palms are pink. I guarantee it. Anywhere you are, if you're listening to me, you listen to this podcast, look at the palm of your hand. It's pink. And that's because you're the human race. That's what our children need to know. Our bloods are so mixed throughout this world, but they're all red, and they're all flowing through our heart. Now, this is to ignite a fire in your heart that water will never put out. Because it's yours. How it burns and how deep it is you. I'll never make that decision in anything you ever do. It won't be mine. It'll be yours. But what are we going to do? You know, he's here. He's discussing this topic. I love it. Because it's an entrepreneurship. It's encouragement. It's giving, there's going to be so many lives changed. And it won't be just the ones building it, but it'll be the ones receiving it. But it won't just be the ones receiving it, because the ones building it are going to get a true thank you. They're going to get a thank you in themselves, proud of what they did, and go to sleep better tonight. And I hope that they enjoyed what they did, because you won't break a sweat. And if you do, man, that just means you got a fire in you. Work a little harder. You're saving more. That's the ones that get the purple hearts. You know, there's a silver star out there for you. And it doesn't take a president to hand it to you. It takes you to put the palm of your hand out and show peace on earth. And, you know, we can end hunger. We can end thirst. It's whether or not you react. You know, we put a challenge out, right? Do 50 cities in 50 weeks. Well, everybody knows when I put the challenge out. I'm going to give you an update today. So far, I believe there's 24 cities. We're almost halfway. It hasn't been a month. Can you see? People are doing. What are you doing? When I show up to and do this challenge, it will be televised. You will become a TV show host or, you know, a star. That's what you want to be? I'm going to show who you are. But the difference is people all over the world is going to see you. And the show is going to be called Least. Loving Everyone All Stronger Together. And it's going to end with a little catchphrase. What's the least you can do? You see these people's least, and they're smiling when they're done. They're not wore out. They're energized. They're not hungry because they ate. But also, they put something here in the community that's going to continue to feed. Right? You teach them to fish. Teach them to grow them because they multiply. They'll multiply faster than you can eat them. That means others can get that same opportunity. Well, I don't know if his phone's back on, but I can keep on talking. If nobody knows who I am, I'm Chris Collins. I'm the founder of Housing Our People Everywhere. Our website is, you don't have to put the www in there. I don't say it. Don't type it. hopeforhousing.org. Take a look at it. I would suggest calling the number, texting the number, getting involved. You'll be shocked what you don't know. Because if I told you everything that you spend on Christmas, you could have got money back and we could have got a donation. If you don't think that's a lot of money, think about a penny out of a billion items on Amazon alone in one day. Come on now. Can't you guys give up a penny? I promise you this. A penny a day will take the homeless problem away. Would you like to see the math? There's 7.8 billion people. Let's just call it 8. Let's call it 5. Make it easy for everybody on their math. 5 billion people. 5 billion pennies. Okay? So what is that, about $500 million? Now, if everybody gave in a penny, even if it was 50 million, heck, let's call it 5. 5 million a day. Let's times that by 365. It gives us 1.2 billion. But I'm also going to tell you something else to do with the penny. Because you take that penny, and I got it out right now because somebody just handed it to me. So you take that penny and figure out how to double it. That's what we're talking about today. How to double your money. Take that penny. Double it. Tomorrow it'll be 2 cents. Double it the next day. It's 4 cents. Double it again. It's 8, right? The first 15 will bug you. Get to the math if it's 25. You ready? So we're at a 25-cent day. The next day, it's 50 cents. The next day, it's a dollar. The next day, it's $2. And it's 4. I promise you, when it hits the thousands, it'll blow your mind. And it takes to about the 13th to the 16th day, 18th day of doing it, that you will see these drastic start moving. But when you get to the end, you got $5 million with 30 flips of that penny. In talking about investing in your life, truly do. Understand that the least thing in your pocket can give you everything you ever wanted. But you have to do something special with it. You have to use it to help others, but help yourself at the same time. You know, did you get a clue? That's what the lease is in your pocket. But a penny a day will end homelessness. You just have to do it. But what else could you give? Because some people could give a dollar. Some could give $100. Wouldn't hurt them a bit to give $365. You know, that's that dollar. But there's other people that could do 100 times more than that. And you know it. But that gift could be a write-off, okay? You're not giving it away because it's not a hand out, it's a hand up. But with your hand out and showing me the palm, then we can show people peace on earth because they're not alone. And, you know, this 6- and 7-figure day, it don't have to be a 6- or 7-figure day. But just imagine making 1,000. And then one day you wound up making 4. You didn't have to make the 1,000. You made 4. What are you going to do with it? Would you go back and plant more seeds, put more pennies out there? Would you be taking that money and starting to do it again and again and again? Because you will continually to have thoughts that can become something. And you can become anything you want. Anything you haven't even thought that you wanted, because you might not even have a clue what's out there that you enjoy more than life and everything else. That's the key. What do you enjoy? What are you going to deploy? Is it going to employ? That's what we're looking for, right? But when they get employed, to enjoy what they are doing. Because if they don't, they work in hatred. They're mean. They don't want to go to work. But they're also mean to the people around them. And that's the children, too, that are seeing it. Might not be the ones that are getting it, but they probably get a little. You just might not notice it. But that's because people go through life with blinders on. I've watched generations change. Because when I was a kid, people waved. If you were broke down, somebody would help you. But they would help you, not worry about whether they would hurt you. We need to get a grip on what we are. We are the human race. Human beings not being human. We can be, but we're not. And it's time for it to be a change, right? But I can't change you. I would hope that, you know, you would educate yourself and learn and become more of who you are. That's all I'm about. Can't make your mind up. No way, shape, or form. It's the hardest thing I ever did in my life was to give this away, to give it to you. It belongs to every child on earth, every child. They are my partner. Tell them to call me. Tell them. They need to call. And when I get a hold of them all, and they all get the same message at the same time, like even if it's on Twitter, it's on TikTok, don't matter. When they get that message and they all say, hey, are you watching? There's going to be walls come tumbling down. Because when people talk about religion and this, there was the walls of Jericho that came down because of some voices. Because sound will blow things up. And if you don't think 2-3 billion or more children yelling won't get your attention, I swear you'll think there's an earthquake everywhere and it's liable to cause them. But you need a shake up. You need a wake up. And we need to do it before the human race breaks up. They're trying to go to another planet. I was asked, hey, would you vote Elon Musk to be president of Mars? I said, sure, always be an alien. He'll never be a Martian. Okay? We talk about aliens, new leader, aliens, and this and that. Our country was founded on the poor of the world. That's what it says. And I'm here to tell the poor of the world, they don't have to come here. Let's go there. Let's bring it to you. Let's don't ship it across the country. We'll ship it across the seas. There. Everything's there. You're there. Whoever you are and wherever you are, you're there. You can do things where you are. And you can do things from far. I know. And when I get a phone call from a 19-year-old boy in Liberia, and he's on a video call with me, and I'm seeing all the kids, and I'm seeing their houses, and I'm seeing everything. I see the roads. I see the little motorcycle running down the road. I meet the grandmother. But, I mean, you know, this kid I've been talking to for a long time, and he works with thousands of children that are younger than him. And he was asked by the country and the adults in Liberia to be the youth chairman. And he says, I don't even have a high school diploma. They said, it's your actions. They said, because he says, I'm not old enough. They said, yes, you are. And the thing is whether or not people pay attention to what we share. You know, there's some impactful stories that get played in this podcast in the beginning. And there's four inspiration. You know, yeah, you might think you know you're tired of hearing them. Don't, because you're memorizing them. Share them. Make it your own story. You know, we are on a journey, and it's totally up to you on the adventures and how far you go, what you want to do, how fun it is, how much hatred is around. Just trying to show people joy. Because it's one thing that we tell our children, oh, stop that daydreaming over there. Stop imagination, you know, this thing going on. No, no, no. Their imagination is their creation. We wouldn't be talking on these phones. We wouldn't have these radios without somebody's imagination and somebody's anticipation to change what they are going through and make it better, maybe give us something. So they have a legacy, right? We're talking on it. Thing is when we go and talk in person, you will be making a legacy right then and there. It'll be seen everywhere. Rima, you still with me? Well, I'm not sure. LA has, I think, left the building with his phone. I'm going to text him. Just check. Are you back? But, you know, you can be the change you want to see. Gandhi. That's his quote. It's not mine, but it's mine to share. There's Reba. Okay, see there? Put you on pause. It was a nice little silence. What did you think about while I was gone? Reba is on this phone. There's other people that's on. I'm on my phone, so I can't get you off the queue. I would love to hear from you. I'm waiting on the text back from LA and see if he is going to be back in a moment or two. But, you know, I'll give you a little backstory on me just so you guys can have, you know, something that you maybe you don't know, maybe you haven't heard our podcast, what we've been talking about. But in 2006, I built a home where the eye came across for Hurricane Katrina. That house saves $11,000 a year in insurance versus the wooden one next door to it. I wanted all the material from Katrina. Marinagan wanted to sell it. So it went out to the profit margin. It did not go to the people to prosper. So the Gulf Coast is still destroyed. But in 2007, Cedar Rapids had a flood in 2006. I helped them put a program together that they'll pay up to $54,000 or $56,000 a year mortgage if you build green in their community. They've been flourishing. They had a city full of mold because they didn't know how to clean it up. And I was there a year after the flood. There was a problem. Now,
hey,
in
Chris,
2009. Yes, sir. There you go. All right.
Hey, hold on. Keep on with that. But what I'm going to do, because I'm still charging up my phone, we got a caller from 8, area code 480. I'm going to open. Oh, hold on. What? Reba's back, too. All right. All right, let me do it this way. There are three calls. There's another one from 309, 262, and 480. Let me, I'm going to start with, Reba, your mic is back open. If that's, Reba, that you?
Okay, great. Yes, that's me.
All right, Reba, her mic is open. I'm going to open up everybody's mic because I got to keep on charging. So 480, your mic is open, and 309-434, your mic is open. So between Mike and, between Chris and Reba, you can moderate those calls. Right? So 480, your mic
yes,
is open.
Sir. Good morning, L.A. Good morning. It's my house for PB. I have a very special guest with me, Mr. William Jay. He's the CEO of For the Future Records, and this is very important information. William Jay, you know how to fool.
Good morning. It's my house. Good morning, L.A. Thank you for having me on the show. Am I coming through clearly?
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure to be here. I am the owner, artist, producer, promoter, and CEO of For the Future. We are a world-changing entity dedicated to changing the world through the youth, which, i.e., is the future. We do semi-educational, youth-friendly car shows for the youth, which brings fathers closer to sons and mothers closer to daughters all over the world. We also get involved with city government, police, fire departments to educate the kids on fire safety, firearm safety, etc. I also produce music with artists all over the world, and we are currently being played in over 9 different countries. Right now, the main goal is networking. I'm currently working with Freddie Black out of Lagos, Nigeria, as well as Ako Daza Fina Akode out of Lagos, Nigeria, on some projects to bring some positive music to the youth. Again, we believe music is supposed to speak to the soul here at For the Future. So that's the goal. I'm also working with artists out of New Mexico, Florida, Georgia, Texas, and another 20 states. We're working our way into Canada currently. The goal is, again, like I said, to network. We do a little bit of commercials, a little bit of content advertising, voiceovers, and character acting. We are fascinated with the huge explosion in the music industry after the COVID pandemic. It put a lot more people in their home and gave them a lot more time with their thoughts. A lot of people are in their recording studios. So there's a huge variety of music coming out now that we did not have in years before. We are capitalizing on that opportunity. Again, good morning, L.A., and thank you for having me. My name is William J. Burks. My phone number is 806-886-8214. Again, that is 806-886-8214. If you're curious about the music, to find the music, we are on YouTube and about another 300 platforms. It is the number 4TH, the number 3FUTUR, the number 3. Again, that is the number 4TH, the number FUTUR, the number 3. If connected, you can find that on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, iTunes, and any other streaming service nationwide. Thank you for the floor. Hey, L.A., I didn't hit the ground too hard, did I, L.A.?
No, you did.
Man, I think
we so loud.
You might have, brother. hey, my number is 309-542-6319. This is Chris Allen. Man, reach out to me, brother, whenever we're done.
Chris, good people.
And thanks for sharing, Mr. Burke. Thanks for sharing that resource.
Yeah, definitely. All right, LA might still be having some technical difficulties.
Mama Evelyn, I believe Mama Evelyn is still on the line. She just texted me. She's at 872, but I don't know if it didn't sound like Brother LA opened up the microphone on her end.
You know, that was the nice part. At least we got the microphones open. Now we have a conversation. I ended up sitting just listening to me just run my lips. Because I can talk. I guess y'all just found that out.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to use my laptop from now on because I... You back? Yeah, Mama Evelyn is at 872.
872. All right. You want me to open? All right, I'll open up that mic. Oh, 872, your mic
Hello?
Is open. I'm putting myself back on mute because I'm still charging my phone.
Good morning, everyone. And Reba,
good morning.
If you got a proposal writer, you know reparation just was signed in the state of Illinois. Get somebody
wow.
to write. Well, let me just give you some history. Since 1960, they have taken over 100,000 acres of land from the Afro-descendant community. Get somebody to write you a proposal about returning that land to them and have used that land to build houses on.
Awesome, yeah, because I'm going to go back and get my land on 35th in Indiana.
Then you need to, that's one of the reasons. You can now, because it's generational property, you
yes.
now
wow.
can go back, go to the state about recouping
oh,
your land.
That.
And monetary costs for loss.
Oh, my
goodness. We just
goodness,
need some lawyers that
everything.
Are willing to work with us.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. I hate to
that's
stand up and walk around.
That's the hardest thing in Chicago right now is finding lawyers that is willing to address what's going on here.
Okay.
Okay. Cause,
yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I told you, we have found over 40 senior buildings in the city of Chicago where seniors are being mistreated and nobody, with the exception of Jeanette Taylor, is standing with the seniors. So
okay,
this would be a perfect opportunity. Huh?
Yeah,
no, I mean elected officials.
Yeah,
those that are getting
that
paid to protect people are not doing their job.
Yeah.
So
just so you guys know, Evelyn does Saving Our Youth, Reclaiming Our Youth every year, and she was an invited guest by Brother L.A. and myself who spoke last year. He extended a great deal of support. So Chris Collins is on the line as well. He's going in to support our youth. Actually, across the nation, he's been doing some amazing things. So Chris Collins is going to be at our event on Friday, February 3rd. So you've been listening in, so you... You heard, and I believe he's going to bring some youth along. So that'll be great because we need as much help as we can get. And I do have a case in Illinois about the seniors being mistreated. I had one. Actually, Tish Bailey, she'll be performing. Her father-in-law is now at Northwestern. He was at, I don't remember where he was, but she transferred him to Northwestern. And she suggested she does her research, very intelligent, and, you know, just giving the heads up that there was one medication that should not have been given to a heart patient, and it damaged his kidney. So he's doing okay. Last time I talked with her, she texted me, and we're trying to get together for rehearsal, which she's got to do with her father-in-law. Yeah, so he was in a nursing home. Actually, that's what it was. He was in a nursing home. He had to come out to go into the hospital. Yeah, because of the maltreatment.
What's craziness like, going on?
Yeah. And we were always talking about literacy on this podcast, and so we want to make sure that individuals, we're talking about property, just general literacy, financial literacy, so that individuals will be empowered by knowing, you know, not only the terminology, but how to be effective, like you said, writing proposals. I actually write proposals myself, but I certainly will find someone who has been working on the reparations proposal, because we're talking about building homes, and that is so God divine. That is how God works, Brother Chris. Because Chris is all over the nation, from what I could tell, right, Chris?
Yeah, he'll put it out there for you, but you got to be the person that takes the action.
Yes.
Anywhere
yes,
you
so
need
Chris
me, I will be. Yeah, we'll build anywhere in the world. I mean, if you need things, we can make it happen. It's just the point of whether or not people take action, you know, and be accountable for an action.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're in Bloomington, Illinois?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, yeah. So this football team, Raging Bulls, you had supported that progress as well with getting them recognized by the NFL?
My friend is the owner of that team.
Okay.
Bob Murphy. And, we started talking about this in December last year. And here we are this year. They're going into the 2023 season, and they're getting to play.
Interesting. I'm wondering if Mr. 7000 was, because we had Mr. 7000. I'm thinking, was that on a Sunday that you guys actually had the induction or?
You know, I need to reach out to Bob and find out. I've got a post that's on my Instagram.
Okay.
That shows it.
Because he mentioned, do you have young people on that team, right? It's a youth team or?
No, it's an 18 to 40 year old team.
Okay.
It's a professional football team.
Yeah, I met some of the coaches. They came to the South Loop Hotel. They had a stay, overnight stay. Mr. 7000 Baseball, he was there, and he had invited us out. But keep in mind, I get off at 7 a.m., so my intentions weren't getting enough rest. But that's amazing how circles run small. What did you say, Chris?
I didn't say anything.
Mama Evelyn, for sharing that. That is a powerful resource. So Mama Evelyn Johnson, that is, we are members of the United American Progress Association. So we have youth engaged in the organization, and it is a 501c3, a not-for-profit organization. So we just got a youth to step up as president. And we have some different sites where we can do, you know, the structures as well. That would be good.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, who was that just speaking?
Me.
Oh, Mama E, okay. Yeah, I'm excited.
I love this idea. How long have I been saying we need to figure out how to build our own? And
I would love to show you how. Where are you located at?
Oh, I'm on 61st of Michigan in Chicago.
Okay, that's what I had a feeling.
Yeah,
I was wondering if we're close, and we are. There's a lot of opportunity for community growth and coming together. The one thing that I was asked about the other day is when I address this presentation to the city of LA, I'm not just addressing houses. They want me to address the problems of the city aren't being addressed. And, you know,
what I liked is they gave me a list, and so far we were hitting on all of them, but there's a few of them that we need to find those resources. But the thing is those resources and these things are in the community that's already in your community right there in Chicago, just like it is in L.A. But it's more in how the reach gets done. We have to be able to get to the people. Once we put them in a home, you need to know what that individual needs, not the collective of the community, what that individual needs. And addressing those, we can do some difference. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm fixing to do a knowledge sharing event in a couple of weeks to teach people in communities how to reconnect with each other like they used to do in the old days. It's going to be, I do something where I train elder women to be block grannies. So parents who need to work but they can't afford babysitters, they have a safe space for their children to go. I will be teaching men about the walking school bus, about the children coming up missing. It will be men that all they will have to do is come out and stand on their porches in the morning when the children are walking to school and in the afternoon to make sure that they're not snatched. I will be talking to them about community sharing, where they will go through their closets and pantries and find stuff that they don't use and just put a table on their front lawn, and anybody who needs it can come and get it. So, and other things about the different steps of problem solving. They will be getting, I have developed a grid to teach them the steps of problem solving so they can teach it to young people. So, on the 21st of this month, I will be doing, at Betsy Coleman Library, I will be doing a workshop with people who are interested in reconnecting their community. Back in the old days, they used to call it the protected community. Okay, there were even a group of women who had to work late and got off the bus late at night. There were men that would meet them at the bus stop and escort them to their houses to make sure they got their safety. So this knowledge sharing event is going to be sharing things with them that have worked. I even do teach a workshop I did in the past. So, but I'm going to teach somebody else how to do something called Strike a Pose for Positivity, where you talk to the police the way they talk to you. And in turn, the police speaks back to you in the way they think young people are talking to them. So they get to actually see what the other person is and feel what the other person is hearing and feeling. Okay. I take a balloon and a ball of yarn and teach them what it looks like when you work together and what it looks like when you don't. So that's my calling.
Yes, and you've also done the, first responders class?
Huh? The first we did was, we taught people how to do CPR, how to do pressure bandages, how to be listening ears with our family where violence has occurred or sickness and they had to rush somebody to the hospital. The first responders did all of that. So, yes, we will be talking about those trainings too. Yes, yes. I talk about stuff where people don't have to depend upon the city for funding and you can still get the job done.
Yeah, and so the class that I took was a part of the Unity, and that was amazing how we were able to put our things together. We used the yarn too, right?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of different workshops, but that one was moving. That Felicia was in that one.
Yes. And seeing if you're not willing to share with people how you learn to do things and keep telling them to pick up a book,
Come on, go.
That's where it gets lost at, because a lot of our people, and it's a word for it, they see words, and they take somebody else's definition of what the word means rather than finding out themselves what's the history of that word and why was it created. And we have to go back to those things of teaching people what is really going on out here.
Yeah, the scholar concept, teaching how to research it. Brother L.A., you're back? I thought I heard Brother L.A. come back on the line. Usually the podcast ends about 11:30. They sometimes extend it until noon. So I want to give Brother L.A. some time.
Yeah,
we got about 10 minutes. Yeah. Is anyone on the line that wants to speak?
I was going to pour into her if anybody else didn't, just because you say you got that stuff already written. That's stuff that I need.
Okay.
So if I could share my phone number with you. And
let me get a pen. Okay. And please spell your name correctly for me.
Chris Collins, CHRISCOLLINS.
Okay.
And my phone number is 309.
309?
Yep. 542.
542.
63. Yes, ma'am.
63?
6319.
19. I'm an old lady, Chris.
Hey. No, you're not. You're right now. You're just blossoming.
Okay.
So.
Wait a minute. You do what they used to tell me to say. Granny, stop what? Saying you're an old lady. Tell them you a seasoned woman.
Okay.
Okay.
Now I'm
going to
scare
him. Huh?
I'm
carrying
his
contact with you as well through the phone. I'm going to text it to you.
Okay. And yeah. Because I do, and if you can, I'm going to text you the flyer if you get a chance to come up here. Because you say you're in Bloomington, right?
Yep.
I'm going to text
ma'am.
You the flyer if you get a chance to come up. You can come up for the knowledge sharing.
Hey, that's what it's all about is sharing knowledge, right? And that's what I come
yes.
on here to do is share what I've went through, what people go through, and what we need to do.
Yeah, cause,
you know, but it's beautiful.
Chris,
I really commend you.
Chris, figure out
yes,
you a
ma'am.
Positive word. Figure out you a positive word instead of saying workshop. You know why? Because you want people to come and listen to what you have to say. When you say workshop, then that gives them an excuse to do texting, to write notes to other people. But if you tell them you're doing knowledge sharing or you doing fact sharing, then that means that they got to listen to get what you're saying.
That's right. I mean, you know, people got to pay attention, right? It's the only free thing we got in life. And if we do it, we can get people's education. You know,
mm-hmm.
when people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a master's degree and you turn, you know, or maybe a couple of them, I know some amazing people that I've been connected with here and, I watch them and, you know, sit in a meeting and just watch all these graphs and all these things and all these different things. And the thing is I can understand every bit of it. And
yeah.
what
and
they laid out there.
That's even,
do you
know what your background color should be?
What's
your
that?
Black background color should be blue. Blue is the color that exhibits trust. That's why you see on the news channel all their backgrounds. I blew, because that's saying you can trust me.
You know, that's what Obama had.
Go ahead, brother.
No. Obama had that in his campaign, his posters.
I can't
that
hear
was
you.
Blue. I've heard that before, you blew.
Hello?
Apparently that works. Hey, look, I'm back.
LA,
you
really? Nice
to see you. Can you guys hear me?
But we're out of time for today, so thank you, Chris, Reba, Mama, Evelyn, for holding
well,
it down and everybody else on that.
Are we live? Are we still live?
Everybody have a good rest of the day.
The first thing you see when you look at me is that blue, so hopefully that will be what you needed it to say. Share what you were trying to say to me. Are you still there, or do we lose the connection? I'm hearing a clicking. Is anybody there?
Ouch. Hello? 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 Yeah. Same to you. Yeah, so I'm gonna send Chris the copy of the flyer. I'll send it. Didn't I send it to you?
Yeah, let me send it to you. And it should be in this fall. I'm working from